Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Well, today we are going to explore how God's story intersects with our story. And I invite you, let's see if we... kind of feel like I'm tapping into my superpowers. Awesome. That we could show up this morning with a sense of curiosity and awe. That as you think about your favorite film, your favorite novel, what if we were that captivated with God's story and with our story and how that intersects? So that's the big invitation. And I'm going to make this interactive if you guys are awake enough, hopefully. You're all caffeinated. But I'm curious, has anybody seen a good movie lately or read a good book? And want to shout it out? Anyone? Anyone? Driveway. Oh my gosh, I haven't seen that. Okay, well, excellent. Good. Anybody, you know, this is basically me getting movie recommendations or like expanding my Netflix list. Anybody else? One that you... Ted Lasso has been my COVID therapy. I must say, I love, love, love that kindness has made a comeback. So I do love stories. And I have really spent the majority of my career, my life, chasing stories. But I'm not the most elegant movie watcher. Have you ever sat on the plane by one of those like ugly criers that's like, you know, you can't escape, you're 30,000 feet in the air and like someone's crying over like, you know, you've got mail? You know, so that would be me. When I watch movies, if I'm not tired, I'm fully engaged and I'm like screaming and I'm like, you know, holding my, you know, hands across my eyes, or I could be in the fetal position. So I'm a very active movie watcher. And I've noticed something during this pandemic season, that when I've been watching series that get like where the character gets like at a really messy, hard place, sometimes I'm literally pushing pause. Like I started this, I mean, like seriously, this has been so odd to observe myself. Like I started this Netflix series recently called The Maid, and it's about this mom with a daughter who's like really just trying, working hard to make things work, and she encounters one challenge after another. And I just had to like push pause, step away, because the messiness of the story, like, I feel like I've had so many uncertainties, especially over the last 2 years, like, to watch somebody else's messy middle, I'm like, whew, that feels like too much. And a part of my background has been a screenwriter, a director, a producer, so story really informs a lot of the way I see the world. And one of the things in story, when you're writing a story or designing a show, the worst thing for your hero, for your character, often is the best thing for your story. So like, you know, bring on the challenge, but living that, oh my gosh, it is painful, isn't it? I don't know what what this last 2 years has been like for you. Maybe it has just been smooth sailing. You're like, I got a raise, I got, you know, a new house, I got whatever. Like maybe a lot of things have come together for you, and that is awesome. And maybe like you've just kind of known exactly, maybe you predicted this global pandemic, and just kind of knew how everything was gonna play out. That wasn't my story. So I have been living in a lot of uncertainty over the last 2 years. That I had started like a tech startup, and we had been working this strategy where we were gonna negotiate this big contract and get all of our tech, and I was gonna get a salary and life was gonna be set. And guess what? When I was supposed to negotiate that contract, anyone guess? March of 2020. Yes, exactly. So there was like a little thing that I didn't predict. And then in the midst of the pandemic, I fell in love. And I had this vision of like, I was finally gonna get a family. You know, I was just gonna get the full package. And that was gonna be set. And then that didn't sort out. And this spring, my mom got hospitalized for over a month and almost died. And she's still in rehab, but there was a lot of mess in the middle of that story. And so what I'm inviting us today is to consider, what is it to live in the messy middle of our stories? What is it to live when we don't know how the plot line goes? And how do we show up? Well, I'm gonna give you basically the movie trailer for the rest of the talk. As we're gonna look at Jesus' story, and we're going to see how he, in the midst of a lot of challenges, the seeming uncertainty, and just, you know, one thing after another stacking up against him, how he navigated that. And who he actually knew he was, and knowing that, and actually knowing that the story ends well, how he was able to move through the messy in his story. And the hope and prayer for that I have for myself and I have for you is that that will not only inform how we actually can move through some of these unexpected global pandemics or whatever comes our way, inflation or the great resignation or whatever, you know, 23 is gonna hold, not only inform how we move through that, but could it transform how we live our own story? So that's where we're going. Are you guys with me? Okay, awesome. So here is our approach. This is gonna be film school meets spiritual retreat. You guys ready for a matchup? this mashup is really kind of the mashup of my life. I was a pastor on staff at a church for 6 years, and then a lot of my career, I've been a director, a producer, so I've lived in this kind of, often kind of crazy world of pastoring and storytelling and just kind of sorting out what is next in life. But as I said, my hope is as we move through this, that we'll actually gain a greater sense of who God is and who we are. And I love the song that the amazing worship team sang this morning of take a deep breath. What if we knew that we were more loved than we could imagine? What if we knew that the story ends well? What if we knew that God was bigger and better than anything we've dreamt of before? So that's our approach, and we're going to be moving through Jesus' story, and we're locating it in Luke 3 and 4. And we're not going to have the scripture on here, but I'm going to read it for you. And I want you to really access your imagination this morning. So you may want to close your eyes. I'm inviting you to be a director. Like, just envision as we move through this. Just let the images, you know, like, how would you film this story? So Jesus is our hero. I will say he defies kind of the universal story approach from the beginning, because all heroes, except for Jesus, have two things in common, and this includes you, that all heroes have something for the audience to root for. And so in screenplay, there's this idea, in the first 5 minutes of every movie, the hero has to do something that wins the audience over. And it's got to be equivalent to, like, saving a cat. So, you know, now Jesus saved the universe, so, like, he's starting off a little higher. And he defies really the second one. So a hero, every hero has something to give the audience, something to root for. And every hero, except for Jesus, is flawed. And so that's how we show up to our own humanity as heroes in our story, is that we are made with so much to give others something to root for. And the reality is all of us are flawed. But Jesus is going to step into being fully human and fully God in a little bit of a different way. As we see, his birthplace is eternity, and it's Bethlehem. His parents, yeah, it's complicated. And hometown Nazareth, a bit of a dodgy kind of backwater space. And his professions, he was a carpenter, likely a stone cutter in those days, a rabbi and savior of the world. And really at the core, his identity was that he was beloved by God. So that's the hero. That's who we're working with this morning. Well, let's see where his story starts. And this is going to give you a little glimpse of Jesus's identity. And I'm going to read from Luke 3, 21 and 22. And as I said, like, just let your imagination, you can turn to it if you've got your Bible, but you can just also just absorb it. So this is the baptism of Jesus. But before John's imprisonment, and John was, you know, John the Baptist was this man of great faith and a cousin of Jesus. When he was still preaching and ritually cleansing through baptism, the people in the Jordan River, Jesus also came to be baptized. So he came to John to be baptized. And Jesus prayed, and the heavens opened. And the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in a physical manifestation and resembled a dove. A voice echoed from heaven. And here's this voice from heaven. You are my son, the son I love, and you I take great pleasure. So I'm going to just read that one more time so you can just kind of sink in. Just think about, actually put yourself in the, you know, maybe in the body and the mind of Jesus right now. You're about 30 years old, and you hear this voice from heaven. You hear the voice of your Father saying, you are my son, the son I love, and in you I take great pleasure. So this is how Jesus starts out. This is his identity, who he is. But let's see what happens next. So in story theory, there's this concept that disruption starts your story. And I designed this story arc, this worksheet that you have. I designed it pre-pandemic, before we even had terms like, you know, new normal. But really, with every great movie, novel, you know, we've got our hero going through life in the status quo, and it can be good or it could be hard, but that's the hero's normal. And then suddenly, something enters the hero's story and flips our hero's sense of normal on its head. And we've got this sense of the new normal. You know, and no time, I believe, you know, in our generation, and I don't know if any time in history we've had this cognition, this understanding, this collective sense that we've been in a time of disruption. Well, here's how the disruption plays out for Jesus. So Jesus has been told, you know, like, he hears this voice from heaven saying, son, I love you, and in you I take great pleasure. And then in Luke 4, 1 through 13, here's what happens. When Jesus returned from the Jordan River, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit led him away from the cities and the towns, from his comfort zone, into the desert. For 40 days, the Spirit led him from place to place in the desert. While there, the devil tempted Jesus. Jesus was fasting, eating nothing during this time, and at the end, he was terribly hungry, yes, and at that point, the devil came to him. So Jesus is isolated, he's exhausted, he's hungry. I mean, how many of us have been hangry, you know? So this is the moment where we're going to see that disruption. Jesus is cracked open, is so vulnerable for what comes next. And here comes the villain, the devil. And it says, the devil says, since you're the Son of God, you don't need to be hungry. Just tell the stone to transform itself into bread. Okay, you've got your identity. Why aren't you just making things happen for yourself? Well, Jesus said, it is written in the Hebrew scriptures, people need more than bread to live. Then the devil gave Jesus a vision. It was as if he traveled around the world in an instant and saw the kingdoms of the world all at once. And the devil said, all these kingdoms, all their glory, I'll give you. They're mine to give because this whole world has been handed over to me. If you just worship me, then everything you see will be all yours. All yours. So the evil one is saying, Jesus, you've got this storyline wrong. If you trust the story I'm telling you, then you're going to have everything you want. And then Jesus responded and said, get out of my face, like a good superhero, Satan. And the Hebrew scripture said, worship and serve the eternal one, your God, only him and nobody else. But the devil didn't stop there. The devil led Jesus to Jerusalem, and he transported Jesus to stand upon the pinnacle of the temple. And the devil said, since you're the Son of God, once again his identity, just jump. Just throw yourself into the air. You keep quoting the Hebrew scriptures. Well, they themselves say he will put his heavenly messengers in charge of you to keep you safe in every way. And they will hold you up in their hands so that you do not smash your foot against a stone. And so, once again, the devil not only challenges his identity and the story, the storyline, he challenges the storyteller. He says, you know, God will rescue you if you just do what I have to say. I mean, isn't that the God that, you know, you trust? Isn't that the God that you want? And Jesus said, but the Hebrew scriptures also says, you will not presume on God. You will not test the Lord, the one true God. The devil kind of ran out of temptations, it says, at this point that day, and he left Jesus preparing to return at some other opportune time. Jesus' identity was challenged in this disruption. If you are the Son of God. The storyline is challenged at this point. There's an easier way to make this happen, to get what you want, to make life a little easier. The storyteller is challenged. God is holding out on you. Put God to the test, because God can't be trusted. God can't be trusted. I don't know for you, but during, especially when the uncertainties stack up, you know, when I have to do the pandemic pivot with my startup, when, you know, you think you're that close to your deepest desires for love and family and the vision of that, or when those that you love get sick It's so easy to question, isn't it? Our identity, the storyline, the storyteller. Well, let's see what happens next. So disruption starts the story. But the good news is that desire defines the story. And so let's get a glimpse of what was Jesus' desires on earth. So the story continues. Luke 4, 14 through 22. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And soon people across the region heard news of him. He would regularly go into the synagogues and teach. His teaching earned him the respect and admiration of everyone who heard him. He eventually came to his hometown, Nazareth, and did there just what he had done everywhere else in Galilee. Entered the synagogue, stood up and read the Hebrew scriptures. The synagogue attendant gave him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus unrolled it to the place where Isaiah had written these words. Jesus comes back to his hometown. You know, hometown hero, right? He's just like made it through all the big challenges of, the biggest villain in the world. And he opens up the scroll and says, do you guys know what I'm about? What I really want out of this journey? What I'm fighting for? The Spirit of the Lord, the Eternal One, is on me because the Eternal One designated me to be his representative to the poor, to preach good news to them. He sent me to tell those who have been held captive, held back, distressed, that they can now be set free. And to tell the blind, those that didn't see the global pandemic coming, those that feel uncertain about their life, that they can now see. He sent me to liberate those held down by oppression, feeling pushed down, victimized. In short, the Spirit is upon me to proclaim that now is the time of the Jubilee season of the Eternal One's grace. Now is the time of hope. Now is the time of joy. Now is the time of more. Jesus rolled up the scroll and returned to the synagogue attendant. Then he sat down as a teacher would, and all of the synagogue focused their attention on Jesus, waiting for him to speak. He told them that these words from the Hebrew scripture were being fulfilled right then, right now, in their hearing. And at first, everyone was deeply impressed with the gracious words that poured from Jesus' lips. Everyone spoke well of him and were amazed that he could say these things. And the rest of the story is Jesus is, he's beloved, he's heralded as king. It just goes perfectly from there, right? Okay. So while desire defines our story, it's conflict that drives our story. Think about your favorite movie, about your favorite book, and the hero has to experience one challenge after another after another. You know, about 85 minutes of a 120-minute film is conflict, is struggle, is really awkward moments, you know? So let's see what happens next. So I actually, stopped right in the middle of that verse. Verse 22, here's what happens with the rest of that verse. And then everyone said, wait a minute. This is only the son of Joseph, right? What were we thinking? Who is this guy? This kid grew up in our town. No. And then Jesus said, if you're about to quote, he knows what's coming, the old proverb to me, doctor, heal yourself. Then you're going to ask me to prove myself to you by doing the same miracles I did in Capernaum. But face the truth. Hometowns always reject their homegrown prophets or their homegrown heroes. Think back to the prophet Elijah. There were many needy Jewish widows in his homeland. Israel, when a terrible famine persisted there for 3.5 years. Yet the only widow God sent Elijah to help was an outsider from Zarephath and Sidon. Here's the deal. God's prophets didn't act like God's people thought they should. This, you know, Elijah goes to, think of our biggest foreign enemy right now. Think about you struggling on your hardest day, and then God going and helping our biggest foreign enemy instead of you. Okay, think about someone who has very different political views than you, and think about them getting the very thing that you say, that's what I want. Yeah, so that was how God was acting in his prophets. It was the same with the prophet of Elijah, or Elisha. There were many Jewish lepers in the homeland, but the only one he healed was Naaman, who was an outsider from Syria, their big enemy. Let's just say this didn't go over so well. The people in the synagogue became furious when he said these things. They seized Jesus, took him to the edge of town, and pushed him right to the edge of the cliff on which the city was built. They would have pushed him off and killed him, but he passed through the crowd and went on his way. So, cheers to that. Excuse me. So, yeah, conflict drives the story. Jesus was intimately acquainted with people that were supposed to know him best, love him most, get him, actually want to drive him off a cliff. Okay, so so conflict drives the story, but it's really its growth that determines where Jesus' story goes. And right after this, Luke 4, 31 through 44, we see Jesus goes and teaches. I mean, he steps back into a space that is so dangerous, so dodgy, full of such betrayal and rejection. And he teaches. And then it says that he steals away for solitude with God. And then he goes back out there and preaches the good news again, the very thing that he says, this is my desire. And we see he does that again and again and again until it drives him on a cross, until he defies death. And shows up once again alive. And so Jesus continues to embrace his identity as beloved. Jesus lives out the storyline. And Jesus trusted the storyteller. And that is the story that we're invited into. That is not a story that is just located for superheroes and for Jesus. That is the story that each of us are invited into, the big story. I don't know if you guys can see, but these are gorgeous portraits of the women that were here yesterday and words of their true identity, little snapshots of the big stories that they are living. And God continues to invite us into a bigger story. Well, because I am a nerd and I'm going to claim it with fullness, I'm giving you guys homework. And I'm going to walk you through this. So I essentially double dog dare you guys to pay attention to your story. And to the story that God is inviting you into. We saw Jesus as the hero, but each of you are the hero in the story that God's inviting you to be in. And so even the course of this week, I encourage you, who are you as you show up to your story right now? What we did this weekend, which was super fun, is each of these, we just put a timer on for 2 minutes and answered the questions that you've got. But what would be 10 I am statements of how you show up to your story as hero? Over the course of the pandemic, what specific disruptions have happened, have invaded your story? And then what do you want? What do you want in your relationship with God, to yourself, with others? One of the most powerful and profound questions Jesus asked again and again was, what do you want? What do you want? And I believe we get to show up with courage if we can trust the story and the storyteller to believe that God, when God says we are the beloved, that he actually invites us to show up to desire. What challenges are you facing? How are you growing? Jesus grew in wisdom and stature on your journey. What good choices and changes have you been making especially over the past 2 years? We have all lived through challenge after challenge, and we're still here. Isn't that amazing? And then the growth guide. God, Father, Son, and Spirit is our ultimate guide through transformation. How has God and others been transforming your journey through this? And what is your story inviting of you? As you sit with your story this week, what's the invitation for you? And what might be the inspiration for others? Yesterday evening, as we women just shared our stories, I think we can all say we were amazed at the other stories in the room. Each of you have a story to tell, a story that God is working wonder in. And so pay attention. Be as curious about your story as your favorite movie or novel or Ted Lasso. So I'm going to pray for us. Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you, thank you, thank you for each person that is here, that you are writing this amazing story in their lives. Thank you, Jesus, for living out courageously and beautifully and generously your belovedness, living out the storyline, trusting the storyteller, so that we too would know that we are beloved by you. We love you. Amen.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon Podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpchs.org.